Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the Raiders practice facility at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center, this is the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Right. Well, it is. You know, I think that's, we talk to our guys about first and foremost, you know, everything that we do is to make sure we protect playing fast. So if we start feeling like we're getting too much in, we're thinking too much, we'll, you know, calm that down. But, you know, fast, physical, and ball out is kind of the three things that we talk about a lot.
Fast, physical, and ball out. That doesn't get you going. I don't know what would, especially as a defensive player, when your coach is talking in that language and in that context. And that's what Gus Bradley does. That's what he's brought to this Raiders defense in order to essentially unleash them. Stop having them play thinking and oversaturated and having to dig deep into a defensive playbook that nobody's ever going to be able to get to, let alone understand entirely, and then go out on the football field and play tentatively and play with a lack of command and think too much and be hesitant. That's not how you play defense. Defenses are, by definition, attacking, flying around, going to make plays, obviously knowing your assignment. But when the assignment is easy to digest, well coached, well explained, well taught, you're going to create a group of players that play with a command, that play with a urgency, and that play with the speed. And we're starting to see that with this Raiders defense. It's only been two games under the direction of Gus Bradley. And, you know, he came aboard in January, and it was full bore ahead from that point on, whether you're talking about acquiring players, getting into OTAs and the offseason program, digging into the playbook, installing, in OTAs, in mini camp, then in training camp. It's not been a long time, yet this defense is playing exactly how he wants it to, fast and furious and balling out. And it's helped and in some cases led the Raiders to two wins in the first two games against two quality opponents in the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're listening to In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. on a Thursday. I'm here live at the Raiders practice facility in Henderson. The Raiders wrapped up their heavy day Thursday here at the practice facility, and now it'll be a light practice tomorrow as they get set for the Miami Dolphins. And Lincoln Kennedy, you know this as well as anybody. When it comes to playing anything, whether you're a baseball player, a football player, a basketball player, when you understand what you're doing and actually – even just as importantly, buy into what you're doing, believe in what you're being asked to do. That creates a confidence, it creates a command, and it unleashes your ability to just go play fast and do your job and play in attack mode.
Yes, very true. Good to be with you, Vinny. Look, that's what every coach wants. They come into a system, they tell you they want you to buy in their philosophy. They want you to support their philosophy, and then they want you to go out there and execute. And they want you to execute at full speed. So, yeah, all those things that you're saying are absolutely right.
So, when you watch this defense, and obviously you pay attention to it, you're up in the booth calling the game, and you're high above the action, so you got a really good vantage point. What do you like about what this defense is doing?
I initially like the energy that's been out, been dished out. I mean, the fact is that, you know, like when the corners are playing press, It's not easy to play press man in this day and age, especially with some of the receivers you have around the league. But they show off their talent. They're really good at what they're doing. They're secure at what they're doing. I like the fact that the linebackers have been active. The secondary has been active. Linebacker has been active, and the defensive line. I mean, everybody. Just the overall activity. When you can generate a rush, something we hadn't really seen a lot of in the last couple of years, generate a rush with those front four guys. I like that. I like to see them getting penetration. I like to see them pushing guys back and collapsing the pocket and making quarterbacks uncomfortable.
Yeah, I agree. And it all starts on that defensive line. The Raiders did a really good job, and we talked about it all summer, Lincoln, and really going back to OTAs, kind of projecting forward. But when you start talking about Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue and Gerald McCoy, unfortunately for him, he's out for the season, but Solomon Thomas and Jonathan Hankins and Clee Farrell, and they drafted Malcolm Kuntz and Quentin Jefferson, who's been a good, solid football player for the Raiders, and Darius Filon, you know, they didn't leave any stone unturned on that defensive line. And Lincoln, I talked a lot about this in the offseason. Even when the Raiders were 6-2 last year, their highest point, and everyone was congratulating them and everyone was patting them on the back, my job, I'm trying to get to the bottom of things, and so I'm reaching out to people and, you know, hey, how you feeling? What are you thinking? You know, not necessarily up there on the podium and all that kind of stuff, but in different types of settings and conversations. And Lincoln, this was the reaction that I was always getting. Yeah, but it's a lot that they need to. Their quotes to me were, "There's a lot we still need to do. Got to get a pass rush. Got to figure out a pass rush. Got to figure out a way to get more turnovers. Got to figure out a way to get teams off the field on third down." And there was a resignation and an acknowledgement that it's probably not going to happen this year. It's not going to be something that we're going to be able to truly address this year, because it was a talent issue first and foremost. And, you know, couple that with probably, you know, not the best coaching staff for that particular, you know, group of players and et cetera, et cetera. So there was an understanding, like, this is something that we're going to have to get to in the offseason. They weren't satisfied at all, even if they made the playoffs last year, even if they had hung on and won some of those games that they did at the end of this, that they didn't at the end of the season. There was no question that they were going to go into this particular offseason saying, we've got to get this defensive line squared away. We've got to create depth. We've got to create pressure on the quarterback. We've got to start forcing some more turnovers. We have to get better defensively. And so it was never any kind of a patting themselves on the back or we've arrived when they were 6-2 last year. There was a real acknowledgement like, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. And credit John Gruden and credit Mike Mayock for getting that work done in the offseason.
Well, they knew it. They knew there was a lot of work to be done. That's why Paul Gunther was fired early in the season last year. And you know, they were steadily trying to figure things out. And then some of the pieces they had in place just didn't work. I mean, call it like it is. Some of the free agent signings didn't work. And even when they were at as you said, they're at their best or the best record they had, you knew that I was telling people all along, careful what you wish for. If this team gets in the playoffs and goes to a playoff caliber team, they're going to get smashed because there were just too many inconsistencies. And having to score that many points week in and week out isn't necessarily easy. But, you know, look, I agree. Going and getting Gus Bradley early, as soon as the season's over, looking for a defensive coordinator, doing that first, putting the pieces together after that, I knew, you know, there were some big changes when I saw the number and the quality of guys that was in that defensive line room before training camp. I mean, it's just like there was some notable names. I said they're going to have some hard decisions to make. And then when you come down to seeing that what they kept afterwards for the rotation standards, I mean, you knew that they were really putting a premium on rushing a quarterback. And I think they've achieved that.
Yeah, and then I got to ask you this, Lincoln, as we, you know, start peeking ahead now to the Miami Dolphins and kind of getting into the middle of this work week and this practice week, are you surprised that it's happened as quickly as it's happened for the defense? Or, you know, and they're going to get better. I believe that they are. I think that group is going to get better as the season goes on, provided they stay healthy, of course. But I guess what I'm asking is, given how there were a lot of new faces on this defense. You bring in a new cornerback in Casey Hayward, Yannick Ngakoue, Quentin Jefferson, Darius Filon, Solomon Thomas, and then linebackers, KJ Wright and Denzel Perryman coming on at what, the last week of the preseason, and in KJ's case, the Monday before the first game of the season, there were a lot of new faces. Nate, you know, Hobbs, the rookie from Illinois, as a starter. Trevon Morig, a rookie starter at free safety. I guess what I'm asking you is, are you surprised at the level of play that they've already showed this early in spite of all those changes, and on top of all that, a new system in Gus Bradley?
Well, no, because a lot of the names that you said were familiar with Gus Bradley's system. They were coached by him. Mm-hmm. So, no, I'm not surprised that it happened. And more importantly, like somebody like KJ Wright, you're on a one-year deal. You prove it. You know, and you know, for Denzel Perryman, you know, I have to believe that all the news that was surrounding him was, hey, the guy's a decent player, but he can't stay on the field. He can't stay healthy. And so that's one of the reasons why Carolina was so anxious so enthusiastic to get rid of him. You know what? Hey, you guys want him. We don't need him. He's hurt again. He hasn't really done too much in training camp. So we don't really know. We're going to move on without him. But he comes into a system where he knows Gus Bradley. He knows knows what's expected from his position and there's responsibilities. And he's been out there playing at a high speed because he's familiar with it. So to answer your question, I'm not surprised. These guys, the guys that you mentioned were at under the system at one point or another, and they're just trying to play football.
Yeah, they are. I guess for me, just because it was so bad last year, Lincoln, and I watching it throughout the offseason and in training camp, I just felt like it was going to be better. But, you know, there's always that until you see it, you're not going to, you know, fully buy into it. And especially with as bad as they were the last couple of years, you don't want to, like, assume anything because we've seen how bad it can be. But so in some ways, I am a little bit surprised because I get, and again, it might be because of what the lasting impression of was last year, where it was just so disconnected, especially in important situations. I just see gang tackling this year. I see guys flying to the football. I see Corey Littleton, you know, quietly having a pretty decent year so far. High volume, right, with the tackles. You know, Perryman just kind of seamlessly moving into the starting lineup, now is the leader in tackles with 22, coming off a 12-tackle performance against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Casey Hayward's one of the highest-ranked cornerbacks in the NFL. I'm not saying all this is going to stay status quo, but if they can stay relatively close, there's really no reason why this defense will deviate too much. So, again, more for me, the lasting impressions of last year and how much of a struggle it was to see competency and efficiency this early is a little bit of a surprise to me. But we're going to first, let's take a look at the injury report. It's such an important day in the whole scheme of things. We thought we saw Josh Jacobs wearing a red jersey during the early portion of Raiders practice, but we misidentified him. So we apologize, any of us that tweeted out that Josh Jacobs was out during early outs of Raiders practice. That was not the case. He was once again did not participate with the ankle injury, so it's looking bleaker and bleaker that Josh Jacobs is going to be on the field on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. You know, Lincoln, in certain cases, obviously you want your guys to get healthy, and you know, you're trying to buy a little bit of time here or there. Maybe the way the Miami Dolphins are struggling offensively right now, of course you don't want to assume anything, but maybe if there's one more game that he can sit out where you feel comfortable that they can still get the job done, maybe this is the game.
Well, if they say it's an ankle injury or a toe injury, whichever one they want to list it as, I mean, I've had my fair share. And, you know, the thing is that the way he runs so hard, it usually leaves tacklers to hang on his ankle or down by his legs when he's trying to drag people. And sometimes those guys, defensive guys, will twist it. So, yeah, to answer your point, to back up your point, if you don't need him, don't force it, because he's more valuable towards the end of the season than he is right now here.
Yeah, without question. Alec Ingold with the fibula was a full participant. Josh Jacobs, as we mentioned, did not participate. Richie Incognito still not out there with the calf injury. Nick Kwiatkowski, coming back from the concussion that he suffered in the season opener, was limited today. Alex Leatherwood with the back injury was full again today. I was kept a keen eye on Alex Leatherwood. He was moving around fairly well today at practice, so I expect Alex Leatherwood to be out there playing. And Lincoln, you know, when the Raiders drafted Alex Leatherwood at Alabama, one of the first things that you heard about him based on their scouting report and their intelligence, was this is a guy who loved to play football and didn't miss games. So no big surprise that even with, you know, I'm sure he's not 100%, and I'm sure there's, you know, that he's experiencing some pain. But big number 70 has decided, I'm not missing any practices. I'm going to be out there on the field on Sunday.
That's a good sign. That's a true professional. They need him.
Yeah, and, you know, especially with how things have gone at right tackle the last couple of years with the predecessor.
True story.
Who just never seemed to want to play. But we'll just leave that in the past. Dalen Levitt with the concussion, and he took a – you know, that was a pretty hellacious hit on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we hope the best for Dalen. He was not participating again today with the concussion. Carl Nassib was limited with the pectoral and toe. It sounds like that's kind of an injury that they're just going to manage. Both of those injuries, they're just going to manage and just, you know, get him into a right place on Sundays to go do his thing. Carl Nassib, Lincoln, is having a pretty good year, all things considered, especially coming off the year that he had last year. Pretty darn good start to the season for him.
I agree. I mean, and it's good to see, good to see, because I was thinking that he was going to be one of those casualties coming out of training camp with all the names that were listed. But it is good to see that he's making the best of his opportunities.
Another player like Max Crosby, you can tell that there was a sense of urgency and some real diligence in what they did in terms of working out, because from OTAs on, he's been flying around the practice field as well. Looked like he's in better shape. Looked like he was dialed in from the very beginning. So credit to Carl for responding to what was a bad year last year. There's no question about it. I'm sure he'd be the first person to tell you that. Unique Ngakoue with the hamstring was full today. Darius Filon with a knee injury was limited today. Roderick Teamer with an ankle, this young safety, did not participate. He's just kind of, you know, not quite sure what the ankle injury is. It sounds like it's a pretty good sprain, but, you know, haven't seen much of Roderick these first 3 weeks, so wondering if he's gonna be back anytime soon. And then Jonathan Abram listed with an Achilles, and he was a full participant today. But there was a scary moment, I gotta say, Lincoln. It was during, you know, they were getting some conditioning work in to start practice. They were during the indoor portion of their practice today, and all of a sudden there's number 24 taking a knee and kind of grabbing, I don't want to say if it was his right or his left, but he was grabbing a lower leg area, had to get helped up, then walked fairly gingerly to the trainer's room. This was to start practice today in the indoor facility, and everyone kind of held their breath a little bit. Thankfully, Jonathan was back out when they moved to the outdoor portion of the practice, you know, finally rejoined the team and was out there. You know, I'm not going to say he was moving around fantastically, but he was moving around out there. But, man, Lincoln, have you ever been in a situation where just out of the blue, non-contact, nothing football-related necessarily, all of a sudden one of your teammates goes down?
No, I don't think I could ever remember that, but I mean, I know when you don't need certain times, like for foot injuries. I had plantar fasciitis in both feet at one time in my career, and that was one of the more painful things that I ever experienced. So, yeah, I mean, those freakish things do happen.
Yeah, and, you know, Jonathan's playing so well right now. I mean, again, a lot of this is we're basing what we've seen in the past, and all of a sudden here's Jonathan Abram. You know, settled down, level-headed, is playing efficiently, making plays, doing what the defense is asking him to do. So, you know, everyone was a little anxious there for a few minutes, because very quickly into the season at this new position, Lincoln, he's become a big part of that defense now and an important part of the defense.
Yeah, and his role is probably going to increase, because there are times they were bringing in Dalen Levitt to help with their dime scheme. And if Dalen's not going to be playing this game, then Abram's going to be out there in that scheme where you put him back in space he's going to make him cover. So I don't know if they have another answer or if another person they're going to go, but I'm hoping for the best.
Wanted to ask you about that, because the Raiders did sign HaHa Clinton Dix.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, about a week and a half ago. So he's been on the practice squad. And I wanted to ask you about that, because, you know, a concussion, He's not, Dalen's not practicing yet. That might be a sign that he might not be able to go on Sunday. But Clinton Dix, the name obviously resonates. But, you know, what, from your recollection, and it's been a little while since he's played. I don't think he played last year.
Was he on Dallas's roster last year?
He might have been on a roster, but I'm not quite sure he played. I'm going to double check that.
Where did I see him at? Yeah, experience is just more experience. He's experienced. He ran a similar system when he was with was it the Packers?
Oh, the Packers. Yep.
Yeah, they ran a similar system then, coverage wise. So it's just experience. Having a safety that knows that's been experienced in the league. Not, again, he struggles in space, so you're not going to have him cover up on try to cover people. But, you know, depending on what they do in the absence of Dalen Levitt, he could probably be serviceable and play a few snaps.
You know, Lincoln, I don't know if your career ever got to this point, but. You know, guys like HaHa Clinton Dix and there's a few others that come to mind that are literally on practice squads now. These are name players that are now on practice squads. Because of COVID-19 last year, the NFL and the NFL Players Association came to an agreement to increase the practice squads, I think from 12 to 10 to 16, I think it was. I think they added six more positions on the practice squad. Four of those spots on the practice squad was free to be given to anybody. It didn't matter how many. Usually, typically, prior to COVID-19, your practice squad players were limited to players that had very, very, very limited exposure to the NFL. There was like a game count that you could, or you know, how many weeks you were on our active roster, that sort of thing. So there was a point where players just become ineligible to go onto a practice squad because they've accrued too much experience in the NFL. Well, because of COVID-19 and some of the uncertainty that it created with rosters and who is going to be available on a week-to-week basis and kind of the need to almost have a taxi squad of veteran players that you can tap into if needed, they allowed for four spots on the practice squad to go to anybody. It could have been Brett Favre could have come out of retirement and gone onto a practice squad. Didn't matter how much experience he had. So that's why Sam Young was, started out on the practice squad. Theo Riddick last year started on the practice squad. In years past, they would have been completely ineligible. And so my question to you is, that rule carried over to this year, and I'm kind of hoping that it will stay forever. Because I think there's players like HaHa Clinton Dix and, maybe Sam Young and Theo Riddick, a lot more than we know, that understand, like, look, it might be difficult for me to start a season on the 53-man roster, but you know what? I want to stay involved in the game. I want to make, it's $11,000 or so a week at that stage. It's not great money compared to what you're getting as an active player on an active roster, but it's still pretty darn good money when you're thinking about $11,000 or so per week. And I think players like that were aced out in the past because they had too much, they exercised or exhausted their eligibility. Do you think that this is a rule that should stick? And do you think that there's players that are toward the end of their career, maybe mid-30s or so, or that just want to kind of stick around for a year or two for an opportunity to play a little bit longer, even if it means taking a drastic pay cut like that?
Well, I mean, look, I think when you have somebody like Clinton Dix, who was a first-round pick, right? I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was a first-round pick out of Alabama, so had that combination of winning. But recently he's been on a number of teams. So I just pulled him up. He was with the 49ers last year, the Cowboys the year before, and the Bears the year before that. So he's been passed around a little bit. He's looking for an opportunity to make a team.
Right.
And when you have that type of experience and that type of talent, obviously to get him drafted in the first round, it kind of leads you to wonder. But when his first 4 years being with Green Bay, before he moved on, he's just trying to find a place where he can find a place that's home, where he can stick. And this might be a good chance for him because the Raiders, even though they've got, Trayvon Morrig has been playing decent, it's still a young safety crew. So again, with the struggles with Abram. So it's good to have experience at the safety position, especially.
That might not be the great example because, he is still a relatively young player. But the Theo Riddicks of the world that, again, that would have been out of a job entirely because of rules. that say, hey, I might have one or two good years left, or be able to help a team another year or two. Let me go on this practice squad and stick around just in case an injury happens, make a little bit of money, but also have that opportunity. I think there's more players that are in that category than we might think. Others are just like, for $11,000, I'm done. I'm going to move on with my life, and it's time to go. But I do think there's the Oriddicks, plenty of them that would be open to that kind of a role. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Thursday. When we get back, Jason McCormick from Station Casinos. He's the Vice President of Race and Sports, and he's going to talk to us about gaming things and point spreads and all that kind of stuff. So join us on the other side and hear from Jason McCormick from Station Casinos.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny and Lincoln on the Sam and Ash text line at 69187 or tweet them at Vinny Bonsignore and at LKennedy72. This is In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy. Brought to you by Tequila Embajador on a Thursday, a few days away from the Raiders playing their second game in front of fans over at Allegiant Stadium. They welcome the Miami Dolphins and Jacoby Brissett as their quarterback, replacing Tua, who unfortunately has some fractured ribs, and he's not going to be able to play for a little while. All the best to him. But we would like to go out to the Raider Nation guest line and welcome in our friend from Station Casinos, Jason McCormick. He is the Vice President of Race and Sports. Jason, how are you doing, my friend? Thank you for spending some time with us in the huddle.
No, thank you guys so much for having me. And it's football season, so I'm doing great and looking forward to the games getting underway.
I'm sure you are, and I got to ask this. There's a game tonight. I think there's a college game. There's an NFL game tonight, and I'm sure there's college football tonight. I think there was college football last night. There will be college football on Friday, including UNLV, I think, is playing Fresno State tomorrow night. How do you guys keep track of all this with a schedule now that's become more and more kind of unorthodox, I guess is the word? It's just spread out so much with how these teams play. And how do you account for that when a team might be playing on a Tuesday night or a Friday after playing a Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, we love it from the sportsbook side of things. Again, anytime that there's games on, we're going to get handle. And when you have these isolated games, like tonight we have Marshall playing Appalachian State. And if that game was on a Saturday, you know, it might just get mixed in the fold. But the fact that it's on a Thursday night, you're going to get a lot more handle to it. These teams get more exposure to where when they go and play on Saturday, somebody feels like they know the teams. They watch these teams play. So all the games that are on isolated days, it's great for us because fans get to know those guys. And like you said, it's from a handicapping standpoint and a bookmaking standpoint, you're always looking at who had extra rest, who had extra time, who's going to, you know, come with something special because they're on national TV.
Jason, I don't want to say anyone was right or wrong. I don't exactly know everything that goes into what creates a line in a football game. But from who was favored and who wasn't favored for the Raiders to start the season, somebody missed. Let's put it that way. And I know that recency bias, I'm sure, has a little bit to do with it. But the Raiders started both games or their first two games of the year. They were really the decided underdogs. Were they just flat out seen as the lesser team against the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers? Or are other things going on in order to get as much action as you possibly can in that regard?
No, I think that, the Raiders are an undervalued team at this point. I mean, after 2 weeks, they're definitely turning some heads. But, you know, as we were coming into this season, they were sitting essentially fourth in the AFC West. This expected to be behind the Chiefs, Chargers, and Broncos with a good offense, but really a lot of question marks on that in that defensive secondary. And obviously with that, you know, that first game going up against the Ravens, that's a team that's expected to make the playoffs with a dynamic quarterback. And obviously the home game, that Monday night atmosphere, atmosphere and kind of the miracle that the Raiders pulled off. And, you know, to expect them to come back and bounce back and have a big game in Pittsburgh was not something that I saw. And just amazing that they did it again. The downfield passing coming from Carr, Max Crosby's been, you know, absolutely fantastic. So they're putting everything together on both sides of the field, and now they have a Dolphin team coming to town that's banged up, and it looks like another great spot for the Raiders.
We're talking with Jason McCormick from Station Casino. Jason, has the Super Bowl line for the Raiders? Have the odds moved or changed? And so, tell us what it is.
Yeah, they're dropping with each win. They're down to 25-1. They were as high as 55-1. And again, remember, we're, you know, in the local market here from a Station Casino standpoint. So, you know, sitting with our casinos in the footprint of Raider Nation, we get a lot of action on the Raiders and a lot of people cheering, much similar to what we saw with the Golden Knights, where you see the fan base is really backing this local team.
Jason, not all 2-0s are equal, and I cover the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I was there last year when they started 2-0, but this definitely feels different from my perspective, just covering the team and what I see and who I talk to and how they're carrying themselves, how they're winning football games. Is it different to you guys?
100%. You can make the argument that they're the best 2-0 team in the league with the teams that they've beat. Obviously, you know, the Bucs stand out from the way that they've won games, and obviously Tom Brady and the fact that they're the returning Super Bowl champions. But you cannot mistake what the Raiders have done here in these first two games and the way that they're playing.
Jason, what about the line on this weekend's Raiders game? How much action have you seen, and has the line changed?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously the line had a lot going into it this week with the Tua injury, with Carr being questionable. We've still got some question marks on the backside of the running game with Jacobs and Leatherwood, but they would have been under a field goal favorite if Tua was playing in this game. And with the movement to Brissett, the game has gone north of a field goal. Went as high as 4.5. We're down to 4 right now. There actually has been some sharp action on the Dolphins. And I think a little bit of that has to go into that, you know, maybe a little bit of an overreaction on both parts, and that the Raiders have looked so incredibly good in beating the Ravens and the Steelers, and the Dolphins really laid an egg last week at home against Buffalo. So kind of working in the wrong direction, where the public's going to kind of overvalue the Raiders. So potentially the sharp guys are going to be on the Dolphins.
We're talking to Jason McCormick from Station Casinos. He's the vice president of race and sports over at Station's Casino. Jason, Allegiant Stadium was electric on Monday night against the Baltimore Ravens. I expect that to be more the norm than the outlier. And I'm wondering, from you guys' perspective, have you accounted for the effect that Allegiant Stadium already has had and will continue to have?
Yeah, I think it's a growing process, and I think you're hitting the nail on the head, and that without the fans there last year, they struggled a little bit at home, and I think Allegiant Stadium is going to be a significant home field advantage for the Raiders. I was there when they played Seattle in the preseason game, and I don't know how many regular season games are going to be able to get to, but you can just hear how loud that building is. And so, you know, when you talk about other stadiums around the league that are able to, you know, get a couple of those offsides and the other team's not able to hear their play calls, I think that's what Allegiant Stadium is going to be.
Jason, last one for me. I'm really looking forward to seeing the Packers take on the 49ers. In the past, the 49ers have had their number, and the 49ers are looking strong as well. How has the line been on that for that game?
Yeah, it was as high as 3.5, and now we're sitting right at a field goal. This game is really, really interesting in the fact that you talked about it, that the Niners had their number when the Packers had to travel out there for that playoff game in the year before, and a lot of that was done in the running game. And with the injuries that the Niners are having and kind of unknown whether it's going to be Sermon or Mitchell or who's actually going to be available in that backfield, that's normally where they've been able to power through the Packers. And the guy that's done the damage for the Packers has been Davante Adams. He's been absolutely unstoppable when he faces the Niners. I think the last two games against them, he's been, you know, 10 catches for 173 yards and 9 catches for 138. So if the Niners can find a way to slow Davante Adams down, they got to find a way to stay in that game. And I think the other guy that's got to be big for the Niners is Kittle's got to find a way to get in the game. He did so in Detroit, but he kind of disappeared in the ugly game last week against Philadelphia.
Well, before we get to the game that I'm going to keep my eye on, aside from the Raiders, obviously against the Dolphins, there's a game that I got my eye on for sure. Jason, if you could let the listeners know about the STN app that you guys have going on and how it can make their lives a little bit easier in what they like to do when it comes to betting sports.
Absolutely. You know, the ability to be able to bet sports from the palm of your hand, wherever you're at, not have to come into any of the books to wait in line for your games. We've got currently a 10% bonus going on. So all new signups, you get 10% of whatever your deposit amount in free bets. So we get you signed up really fast, less than 5 minutes. You can then deposit while you're at the property, or you can deposit through the app. So once you make a trip into the book to get signed up, you're all set and ready to go for the rest of the season. And obviously, with hockey season coming upon us in the next 2 weeks and NBA behind that, you'll get yourself ready for all the sports.
All right. So I got two questions for you. First, totally understand that 49ers-Packers game might be the highlight game of the week, but I got my eye on the Rams hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Used to cover the Rams, so I always keep an eye on those guys over there in Los Angeles. What are you expecting in that game?
It's the highest total on the board this week. It's 55.5 points. And one of the things that I look at in this game is that the Rams defense is normally that, you know, the top three defense in the league, and they have not, to me, you know, the Bears effectively moved the ball in week one, and the Colts were really kind of up and down the field on them and stalled a couple times in the red zone, but they were able to move the ball as well. Tampa Bay is obviously moving the ball on whoever they play, and Brady is putting up just absolutely incredible touchdown numbers to Godwin and Gronk. The one thing that I really looked at in this game was the backfield. Obviously, Henderson may be banged up a little bit for the Rams, and we're going to see Sony Michel. But I found an interesting stat that the Rams have, they play with the empty back set more than any team in the NFL, and the Bucs have the 30th ranked defense against empty sets. So if there's a matchup that Sean McVay can exploit, and the way Cooper Kupp and Stafford is hooked up here early in the season, we'll see if the Rams can try and outscore the Bucs in this one.
Yeah, the Stafford-Cooper Kupp combination has quickly grown into one of the more lethal combinations in the NFL, and I think this is a big week for those two, especially for exactly what you just mentioned. All right, last question for me, Jason. The NBA, I love the NBA, and I'm just wondering going into the season, is it a shoe-in with the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets, or are we seeing? Can we expect to see something different than what? I mean, it almost seems so obvious that those two teams are going to play each other in the finals.
Well, you essentially answered your own question with last year. I would have said the Lakers and Nets were a shoo-in last year, and the injuries that happened to all these guys, you know, allowed us to see different teams and see the Suns and the Bucks, and obviously you've got capable teams around the league. But if the head and shoulders of the league and these guys aren't able to stay healthy and get on the court, it's going to open the door for other teams.
Absolutely. Jason, thanks so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. Again, don't forget to download the ST sports app. It makes life a lot easier if that's the world that you like to operate in. And Jason, one more time, if you could give them the instructions on that.
Yeah, just go to any Station Casino, Wildfire, or the El Cortez. Just bring in your driver's license, and they'll, like I said, under 5 minutes, they'll get you signed up, and you'll be able to bet sports on the go.
Awesome, Jason. Thanks so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. Have a fun weekend. I know it's going to be a busy weekend, and we'll talk to you down the road, brother.
Vinny Lincoln, thank you.
You got it. That's Jason McCormick from Station Casinos. He's the vice president of race and sports. And I know that, you know, living here in Las Vegas, Lincoln, it's prevalent, and it just adds an extra element to watching the games. And I'm starting to appreciate it more and more. You're in the huddle with Vinny Monsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Thursday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny and Lincoln on the Sam and Ash text line at 69187 or tweet them at Vinny Bonsignor and at LKennedy72. This is In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Lincoln, on the teams that you played with, the ones that were successful specifically, at what point did you have a pretty good idea that you're a pretty good team. I know everyone goes into a season confident, but there's also way more honesty in professional sports than some people probably understand or know. Teams know what their flaws are. Teams generally, they're going to go out there and try to win every single game, but they have an inkling a lot of times if they're not really that good. But when does, okay, we're pretty good, start taking effect?
Usually about the halfway point of the season. Most of the time around when you get your bye, you sort of look back where you are, see how you feel, look forward to what's ahead of you. And if it's, especially if it's at the halfway point of the season, you kind of have a general idea of where you at, where you're at.
I'm not going to call you a skeptic right now, but I just get I get the feeling listening to how you've described these Raiders so far. There's still a little bit of reluctance to go there necessarily.
Yes.
Why?
Because it's only two games. The Raiders don't have a run game right now. The offensive line is extremely battered and still inexperienced in many ways together. And we've seen these fast starts before.
Is there anything different, though, about this fast start to you?
Yes, the defense.
Is that enough? I mean, like that changes
things. Is it enough for what?
Is it enough to – even if this run game is somewhat of a struggle throughout the year, is the – we know that they can throw the ball. We know they can manufacture yards. We know that they can score points, and they've done it against two pretty good defenses already. Is that defense, the way that defense is playing – and of course it's if it can hold up, but is if that defense continues to play well, is that enough to maybe compensate for – the fact that it might be a little bit of a struggle this year with the run game?
I tell you what will be a true telltale sign is this week against the Dolphins, because they're supposed to beat the Dolphins. Okay. If they go out there and they handle the Dolphins, I'll be a little bit more, you know, a little bit more less skeptical, if you will, because I am skeptical. I'm not going to deny it.
No, yeah,
I've seen this team before. I mean, I've seen this happen before. They weren't supposed to beat these first two teams. There were a lot of people who thought that, you know what, if we could start off 1-1 after they got the Monday night win, we can start off 1-1. Okay, that's all right. Now you've got a lot, some people saying, well, we should handle the Dolphins, and now we need to look to the Chargers. Look, that's not going to be an easy win either, you know, on Monday night. So if they take care of business this week in a fashion which is decisive, doesn't come down to ifies or, oh, let's hold your breath because here we go, we got another nail biter, then I would be less skeptical. I don't expect them to go through the season undefeated. They're going to have their losses.
Of course.
But teams that they're supposed to beat, that's what I want to see. Because last year in the second half of the season, that didn't happen. They weren't supposed to lose to the Falcons. You know what I mean? They weren't supposed to let the Jets keep close to them. You see what I mean? That wasn't supposed to happen. And so that was what was disappointing when you think about it. And that's why I'm skeptical. It's only two games. And I see they still have some problems, some which might manifest to major problems. I don't know if they figure it out, but they should beat the Dolphins.
I agree, and you know, this is one of those games where an easy one sure would be nice. Like I think the Raiders in present time are, I wouldn't say decidedly better than the Miami Dolphins, but you know they're
just say better.
Yeah, they're better. Yeah. They're a better football team than the Miami Dolphins, especially with the Dolphins having some issues along the offensive line and at quarterback. You brought up a good point. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but the Chargers game, for anyone who thinks that's – because I've heard people going, you know, and if they win that game, if they beat the Dolphins, you know, then you got the Chargers, and that's going to be a home game. I don't care if it's a home game for the Raiders. That Charger team, Lincoln, is a pretty good football team, and I think they're going to only get better as they get more comfortable with their new coaching staff, both on offense and defense. That's not going to be a gimme. And so, to your point, they have to take care of business against the a Dolphins team that they should beat.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like I said, last year it didn't always happen. And you know, people say, well, that was last year. This is different. There's a difference between this team and last year's team. Obviously, it's with the defense, the play of the defense. Can they keep that level up? Can they be as disruptive when they need to be? This is one of those games where they completely can control the game. The offensive capabilities, even up against that Miami defense, should be able to score points, and the defense should be able to shut them down. They got skunked last week against Buffalo. I'm not saying it's going to be the same team or same difference, but the defense, the way it's been playing the first 2 weeks, if they're capable of doing that against Sunday against the Dolphins, they should control the game.
Yeah,
and that's why I say that's when I say that, you know what, I'm a little less skeptical, because now the defense is definitely the difference maker than we didn't have last year.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think that this is a week where, you know, you don't go into a game expecting this to happen, but you wouldn't be surprised if maybe even take one to the house defensively, or maybe create a couple of turnovers that flip the field. These are the games where, with that offensive line playing the way it has, and if you look at it, the Miami Dolphins have given up a lot of quarterback pressures, and the Raiders are one of the best right now at getting pressure on the quarterback. This is one of those games where you think, don't be shocked if there's a couple of turnovers, and again, maybe a play that goes to the house, Lincoln.
Yeah, you're right. I believe it.
And sometimes you need your defense to score points, and with that run game where it is with the Rams or for the Raiders, it sure would be nice if they could get one on the other side. We're gonna go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Jose is in L.A. How you doing, Jose?
Hey, what's going on, Vinny? What's going on, Lincoln?
What's up, bud?
Doing good, man.
Right on, right on. Hey, first of all, I just wanted to say thank you, Lincoln, for all the years of service that you did for the Raiders, man. And any reports on Trey Rogers, him possibly getting to play anytime soon, seeing that in the preseason he ran pretty good between the tackles, and it seems like we could use a nice change of pace back like him.
Lincoln, I didn't
Trey was put back on practice squad, wasn't he?
Trey Regis? Yeah, he's on the practice squad, especially with where Josh Jacobs is right now health-wise. You'll see him get promoted on the Saturday before the game. You're allowed to bring up here's how it works. You can expand your roster to 48 from 46 on the game day roster. Remember, it's normally just 46. But again, another rule change last year because of COVID-19. You can expand your rosters now to 48 on game day, provided you dress out 8 offensive linemen. If you don't, if you dress out 6 offensive linemen or 7 offensive linemen, you got to stick to 46. But I expect the Raiders to have 8 offensive linemen again this week, and I expect them to go to 48 on the active roster, and I would expect Trey to be one of those players. Whether he gets in the game or not, I don't know. I think that, you know, right now they're comfortable with Barber and Kenyon Drake as the two primary running backs in this game until Josh Jacobs gets back, where a guy like Trey is more of an insurance policy, and maybe you get him on the field a little bit here and there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I thought that Trey ran really well in preseason. I was glad that they were able to keep him, but he's that depth that they need at running back. And I've been impressed a little bit with the limited stuff I saw with Barber out there.
Same here, and that's a player that the Raiders really liked when they were able to bring him in off the practice squad. I'm drawing a blank on whose practice squad he came to them on, but it was. And again, we talked about this yesterday, Lincoln. You know, you have pro personnel department that has a book on every player on every roster, practice squad, regular roster, so that when opportunities arise, you have a pretty good idea of where you can go to for help, especially on that practice squad, because aside from 4 players that you're able to protect where nobody can just swoop in and take them off your practice squad, everybody else, the 12 other players on every team's practice squad, is open and eligible for any other team to swoop in and say, hey, we want you, we're going to put you on our active roster. So that's how a guy like Peyton Barber became property of the Raiders. And I like, just like Lincoln, I like what I've seen so far from him, and I would expect his role to expand the more Josh Jacobs isn't able to get out there and play. You're listening to Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM on a Thursday, in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
The
Las Vegas Raiders are undefeated and will look to stay that way as they host Miami Dolphins. The Raiders looked impressive on both sides of the ball against the Steelers and will now be seeking revenge as the Dolphins stunned the Raiders last year by beating the Silver and Black at Allegiant. But this year's a bit different, as Raider Nation will be in the house. So tune in Sunday starting at 11 for pregame on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. The West Virginia Mountaineers are headed to the Palace of the Prairie in Norman to face number 3 Oklahoma this Saturday. The Big 12 battle starts at 4 on ESPN Las Vegas. Brought to you by Finley Toyota. We're here for you.
Right now at Best Mattress, get 2 free Tempur-Pedic pillows with the purchase of any Tempur-Pedic mattress. We have a large in-stock selection and up to 72 months no-interest financing. Good health starts with great sleep, and great sleep starts right here at Best Mattress. Sleep easy, friends.
I'm Justin Watkins with Battleborn Injury Alerts. Some people call an attorney when they hear a catchy jingle or the kids memorize a phone number. But most people ask friends or family who they used, because the bottom line is most people just want an attorney who is good at their job and answers the phone. At Battleborn, we have built our practice on the word-of-mouth referrals from happy clients because we keep our promises and get great results. So if you need an attorney, call Battleborn Injury Lawyers at 570-9000. That's 570-9000.
Heroes don't need capes to be noble. Our heroes wear uniforms, badges, and stethoscopes every day to ensure our community remains safe. Finley's Subaru of Las Vegas, along with Custom Jacks, Raising Canes, Distill, Horses for Heroes, Board and Brush, and the Las Vegas Aviators honor our first responders that strive towards a better tomorrow. Nominate a hometown hero who's made an impact in your life at SubaruofLasVegas.com. They could receive a 2-night stay at the Casablanca Resort and Casino. SubaruofLasVegas.com.
I miss my baby. Someone stole my baby. By the way, my baby is my landscaping truck that was literally stolen from a job site. Baby, won't you please come home?
Owning a small business isn't always as lovely as it sounds, but with 30-plus customizable coverage options, Progressive Commercial keeps your business humming along. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
I love my sweetheart. By the way, that's my riding lawnmower.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Coverage and discounts not available for all vehicles or states. Policy terms and conditions apply.
Lincoln Black Label is your invitation to a uniquely elevated automotive experience revolving around you, including pickup and delivery, premium maintenance, vehicle care, Lincoln Concierge, travel collection, and culinary collection. Finley Lincoln is here to surprise and delight you all the way through your effortless experience. Then think Finley Lincoln in the Valley Auto Mall, Nevada's only standalone Lincoln Black Label dealership.
Sign up today for a new William Hill Nevada Mobile Sports account, and you can earn a $50 bonus on top of your original $50 or more deposit using promo code GET50. That's promo code GET50. The William Hill Nevada Mobile Sports app allows you to bet on the go from any iPhone, iPad, or Android device from anywhere in Nevada. Sign up today and you'll never miss another bet. With the largest wagering menu, the mobile sports app features live in-play betting on football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, and tennis. For more information, visit williamhill.us. William Hill is a proud partner of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Your afternoon Raiders fix with your boy Q on Unnecessary Roughness from 2 to 4 on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM, KRLV Las Vegas. Did you miss one of your favorite Raiders radio shows? Podcasts for the Morning Tailgate, the JT the Brick Show, Unnecessary Roughness, and In the Huddle can all be found on our website. So check out lvsportsnetwork.com anytime and listen whenever you want. Sound off, Raider Nation. Join JT the Brick weekdays.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.